Oh, Jesus. So many things to complain about. I don't even know where to start. I really don't. I didn't prepare for this podcast at all. It is May 15th, 2018, and this is the QTR podcast, and I am QTR. This is not investment advice, etc., etc., etc. Do your research elsewhere, fools. Don't listen to me, all right? I was serving beer for a living a few years ago. But geez, I just hope for your sake you guys have already had a couple of cocktails. If you're listening to this on May 15th, which is Tuesday, if you're catching me Tuesday night, it means that you're up late or you're on the left coast and, you know, you're still up somewhat considerably late. And I just hope you have a couple of cold ones in your system right now because I got some shit I want to talk about. This podcast has been brought to you by the Baltimore Orioles, who have delayed the game with the Philadelphia Phillies this evening because there was one bolt of lightning somewhere. And so I was sitting at home waiting for the baseball game to start and also watching some of the NBA. But you know what the problem is with the goddamn NBA playoffs is there's a commercial break every 2 seconds. So what I did was at halftime, I just DVR'd it, hit pause, and I'll check back in with it later. And I can skip through all the commercials as long as nobody tells me what the damn score of the game is before. I just can't look at my phone. I can't do anything. Can't look out the front door. Anyways, this podcast is not about the NBA playoffs. This podcast is about a tweet that I just read that motivated me to get my lazy ass up off the couch downstairs where I was sitting basically waiting for the second half of the Cavaliers-Celtics game to start and march my ass upstairs. And by the way, I have another podcast or a... It's going to be either an article or a podcast that I'm going to be doing some point soon. And it has to do with Herbalife and it has to do with some interesting things about Herbalife. That I haven't really talked about before. I was going to make that be the next thing, but I couldn't. Couldn't stand it any longer because I was on the couch, okay? And I'm sitting there minding my own business, and I'm perusing Twitter like a total loser, you know, just sitting by myself looking for something to do. I actually just ate a donut. It's it's 9:50 at night, and I just ate a fucking donut, okay? That gives you some type of look into the exciting life of Quote the Raven. I was eating a donut. I was eating a breakfast food, and it's not even a healthy one. It's a breakfast pastry, and I'm pretty sure, you know, this particular donut, which came from Wawa, was made in a lab somewhere with guys and lab coats and turkey basters and petri dishes. I don't think there was one natural ingredient in this thing, but Jesus God, if it didn't taste great. All right, I swear to God, this podcast is not about the NBA playoffs, and it's not about the sugar bomb that I just stuffed down my gullet like a pelican. I didn't even chew it. Just, you know. I just saw a tweet by somebody that said the U.S. student debt just hit $1.5 trillion. $1.5 trillion. And believe it or not, I have a couple thoughts about that that I wanted to share. First off, that is a fucking enormous amount of money. $1.5 trillion is a ton of money. That is a huge pile of debt that people have racked up. And you don't need to be a genius to understand that very little of this $1.5 trillion is going to get paid back. So what we have is we have a giant debt bomb, essentially, in student loans that at some point is going to have to be dealt with. So let's talk about why we have $1.5 trillion in student loans, where that money is going, why it won't get paid back, and why this whole thing is the Fed's fault, and what's going to happen when we have to deal with this fucking mess at some point. So why do we have $1.5 trillion in student loan debt? Is it because, you know, demand for university educations has just gone higher and, you know, normal lending standards have been achieved and that's the targeted amount that the balance between normal lending and normal borrowing has come up with? The free market has determined that there needs to be $1.5 trillion in student debt outstanding? Of course not. Fuck no. Fuck no. No. This is what happens when the goddamn government gets involved in an industry. What has happened here? At some point years ago, the government, our government, people like Bernie Sanders who think everybody's entitled to a 4-year degree and an associate's degree and a master's degree and a PhD, without really trying to figure out how anybody's going to pay for it. You know, it's a PhD is a basic human right. Look, I have news for you, okay? Going to college and getting an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree or a master's degree or a PhD isn't the right solution for everybody. The free market should be the thing that's helping determine who goes to college and who doesn't. Some people are just not meant for college, and that doesn't need to be a bad thing either. I'll give you a perfect example. I went to college. I have an undergraduate degree, okay? I have a graduate degree. I have a master certification that I also got from Cornell, which is like a postgraduate master certification program is really what it is. And on top of that, I took finance and accounting classes at Wharton, and they gave me a little sheet of paper too. So here on my wall, I have four little certificates, right? I got this master certification from Cornell. I have this course completion thing from Wharton. I have my master's degree, and I have my bachelor's degree, and I have a high school diploma. And there are people that I went to high school with that did not go to college. Some of them even dropped out of high school to go to, we have a vocational high school in our town. And those people, they that went to VoTech, or they just didn't go to college, and they either, most of them, and the people I'm thinking of, went and learned a trade. So they either went and got like an HVAC certification, or they went and got like their ASC certification to become mechanics. One of my buddies became a welder. And these guys, still to this day, are making great money. They're making fantastic money. All right. One of my buddies who went right out of high school and became an ASC certified mechanic went and opened his own garage. And he's doing like, you know, $500,000 in revenue a year or something ridiculous. He's doing fantastic. I forget what it is, but he told me he's doing great. And he's getting ready to open another garage, do like a franchise thing, whatever. And, you know, I look at somebody like my tattoo artist, all right? Great kid, grew up in Roxborough, nice guy. Roxborough, for those of you that are not from Philadelphia, is a working class neighborhood in Philadelphia. Went, did his tattoo apprenticeship, charges $75 an hour or $60 an hour to be a tattoo artist. Learned to trade, is doing very well. Drives a, you know, nice brand new Honda. Has plenty of, you know, supports his family and has money to do whatever he wants with. He owns property here in Philadelphia. He owns property elsewhere. He's doing well. And all of these people are, you know, a majority of them that go and learn trades ultimately wind up doing very well. Some people wanted to leave to go learn a trade, either maybe it was what their family was doing prior. You know, a lot of people that are plumbers come from a family of plumbers. A lot of people that are police officers come from a family of police officers. A lot of people that are mechanics come from a family of mechanics. But the truth of the matter is, a four-year degree is not, first off, it should not be guaranteed. The notion that the government needs to provide everybody with a college education is asinine. And it's that stupid line of thinking that has gotten us to where we are now with $1.5 trillion in student loan debt, which I will be talking about in a second. But the first point that I want to make is not everybody needs to go to a four-year college. It's just not a necessity, you know? And I'm a perfect example, right? I went and got all, yeah, I have all this education under my belt, but I'm not earning that much more, if I am even earning more than my friends who are mechanics and welders and plumbers or whatever. And certainly, you know, some years back, they were earning, you know, probably twice what I was making. So there's a case for going out and learning a trade. And there's a case for people that just want to go to community college and then enter the workforce. Or there's a case for people that want to leave high school and they want to become ultrasound technicians or radiologists or some other type of specialty that isn't necessarily a college education. But the government thinks that everybody should go to college. So what does the government do? It insures and it subsidizes student loans and it makes them available to everybody. And what happens then? Well, it's a major problem when the government interferes with the free market. Because what happens is we wind up piling up this huge load of debt. And I personally know people. I know people that are my age, okay? I'm in my mid-30s. I know people that are my age that are going back to school now. And I know people that, growing up over the last, you know, 5-10 years, friends that I had and people that I knew, acquaintances that had gone to school, you know, they were taking their stipend checks and they were taking their student loan checks and, you know, the money that they were supposed to be using towards books, they were using to pay rent. Some of them finished college. Many of them didn't. Some of them put the money towards their scholarship. Many of them didn't. So first off, for everybody that thinks that this $1.5 trillion in outstanding student loan debt is money that is just for schooling, and it's money that has all been invested in education, you're fucking delusional, because that's not what's going on. And all you got to do is just have a candid conversation with anybody. Just look around and have a candid conversation with somebody that's in their 20s or in their 30s that has gone to school. Because I have talked to so many people, some of my friends included, you know, when we're at the bar. Yeah, I take my student loan check. I just use it to pay my rent. I'm not even going to class anymore. You know, I'm in the process of dropping out if I haven't dropped out already. But I like getting the check. And there are so many instances of that. That's not an isolated incident. So this money that everybody thinks is quote-unquote student loan debt is not. And the fact that a majority of this debt can't be discharged in a bankruptcy does a huge disservice to the people who took it on. Now, as I said before, $1.5 trillion isn't the amount that the free market decided that we had available to loan out for student loans. Absolutely not. Because when the government insures and subsidizes an industry, it skews what the free market would be able to issue and what the free market would allow people to borrow. It's like interest rates, right? The government comes in and lowers interest rates, and all of a sudden there's plenty more debt out there. People that normally wouldn't be able to take on debt can take it on. And the lenders ease their standards, and the borrowers get more aggressive because the cost of capital is lower. But the interest rate doesn't actually represent a market rate for what borrowing money would cost. I mean, borrowing money is a product, right? It's a service. And so, just like everything else, the price should be determined by supply and demand. If there's plenty of capital to be lent out, and there are not that many people that want to borrow it, interest rates would naturally come down, because they want to entice people to borrow more. And if there's limited capital to borrow, and there's an overwhelming demand to borrow capital, interest rates should go up. But what happens is the government interjects and sets the interest rate wherever the fuck they want. And what that does is it changes all of the other variables. It changes the amount of people that can borrow. You know, it's like everything's a zero-sum game. So if you adjust one variable, all the other ones will adjust accordingly. And that's what's happening with student loan debt. The government has made debt for student loans widely available. And so what happens is you have more people going to college now and more people taking on this debt than there normally would be, which is why we have $1.5 trillion problem. That's a lot of money. $1.5 trillion is a lot of money. I mean, the numbers look small. 1.5 is not a big number. But it's the trillion that you need to pay attention to. If I told you there was $999 billion in student loan debt outstanding, you'd be like, oh, $999 billion, that's a lot of billions. But it's only just $1 trillion. You know, it's like, dude, that is a lot of money. $1 trillion is a lot of money. $1.5 trillion is even more, which is the amount that we're talking about. That is $1,500 billion. Okay, there's $1,500 billion in student loan debt out there. You're worried about the crypto markets, you know, having a little bit of a bubble burst. You're worried about subprime auto mortgage debt. Here's $1.5 trillion that needs to be paid attention to post haste, because people like my friends and people like the people I know who have taken out this money, some of which went to school and others are just, you know, taking it and living off the dole. Those people have no intention of paying this money back. And it, you know, look, if it wasn't this widely available and there were some real lending standards and there was a real free market in terms of how much was allowed to be lent and how much could be borrowed, well, these people wouldn't have access to the capital at all. But they do. And that creates a bubble. Just like when the Federal Reserve thought everybody should be able to buy a house. What happened? Well, everybody bought a house, including people that had no income, no savings, no lives, no skills, no arms, no legs, no eyes, no ears, nothing. You had blank heads filling out sheets of paper and getting approved for mortgages. And I'm not sure if you guys know what happened in 2008, but the whole fucking thing went tits up in a big way. And you could argue that the government was the catalyst to a lot of that. So we create these bubbles like the one we have now in student debt, and everybody is going to be mystified when this becomes a huge problem. And trust me, this is going to become a huge problem because nobody's going to address it now. Nobody's going to address it until it becomes too big of a problem. And at some point, either the debt bomb will explode and will need to be bailed out, or there will be legislation put in place that relieves some of this debt. But it's not really being relieved. Somebody will have to pay for it. And ultimately, it will be something that is passed on as a tax to everybody. People that understand how stupid of a system this is and people who really just don't get it. They will pay for it. They will pay for it either through inflation, because the money supply will increase as we print to monetize this debt, or they will pay for it some other way in their taxes. One way or another, this giant problem that the government created will be paid for by people like you and me. And that's bullshit. Because if the government had let the free market work the way that it's supposed to, this would have never turned into a $1.5 trillion problem. Maybe it would have gotten to $500 million. Maybe it would have gotten to $200 billion, $700 billion. I don't know. But at some point, it would have corrected itself. And that's not what's happening here. Instead, we just have more lending. This is like the problems with debt across the board right now. The cost of capital is so goddamn cheap that people just keep lending. And we lend and we lend and we lend until we have lent to everybody, including people that have no chance of paying back this money. People that are on their fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh loans, and they've, you know, taken out home equity loans, and they're now going to payday lenders. And we're still lending to those people. And then we look up and we wonder why we have a crisis. We wonder why fucking with the interest rate can cause such a problem. So what does it look like from the university's point of view when everybody has access to student loans? Well, what can they do? They don't need to be competitive anymore. So your universities don't need to compete. They can all kind of raise prices in unison because they know the government's going to provide the capital for people to enroll. So there's no need for universities to go out, lower class sizes, improve the quality of the education that they're giving. There's no need for them to go out and look to give you the best deal in order to, you know, entice you as a buyer. And the quality of the education goes down. The class sizes go up. The degrees become worthless. We get online learning education, whatever the fuck they're called. You know what I mean? Online degrees that, you know, you can go out and you can borrow the money to go and work through them. And I've done some online courses and things like that. It's not all worthless and useless. I've learned some things from that. But to have them widespread across the board and really be ubiquitous, it lowers the overall quality of the degrees that are being issued. So this is a huge problem. It's great for the universities because they're really, you know, they're guaranteed to get their money one way or another, and they don't really have to be competitive. And, you know, a great example of a difference would be to look at televisions. I talked about this at Traders for a Cause last year. Televisions have gotten cheaper and have gotten better in quality over the last, you know, however many long years. Right now we have the best televisions in the world. We have flat screens, we have enormous 70, 80-inch televisions, and the prices continue to come down on them all the time. So you could go out and buy a 70-inch television today that a couple years ago would have cost you probably 10 times what you're paying for it today. And the reason that we have that is because this is a market that the government doesn't fuck with. So in order to actually entice consumers in a free market situation, these companies know that they have to produce a better product and they have to do it at a lower price. But when the government is there artificially creating the demand for these things or ensuring that these companies are going to get paid, or in this case, universities, there's no real motivation for the universities to improve the quality of education, lower the class sizes, and be competitive with one another. And instead, you get just the opposite. You get a bunch of lower quality institutions that keep popping up and keep trying to kind of nudge their way into the space and make it so that you can, you know, enroll in their college, whether it's on campus or it's online. So now we have a economy where we have all of these people walking around with communications degrees, and we don't really have the jobs to support them. And the jobs that we do have available are jobs where you learn a trade, or jobs where you have to have some type of specialized skill. And the people who went to university, they won't go and work them. Can't talk to a millennial who's got a degree in, you know, modern dance and ask them to go become a welder. They're going to be like, I can't be a welder. I can't do that. I went to college, you know? It's like, what's the matter? Put a fucking mask on. Do some work. Weld this pipe. Produce something. You know, well, I can't do that because I'm holding a... one of my friends said to me the other day, I want to be a museum curator. I was like, well, good fucking luck. Good luck. What are there, like 6 museum curator jobs in the world? You know, I'm going to go back to school to be a museum curator. I'm like, that's going to be the biggest fucking waste of time ever. Look, I don't have anything against museum curators, the same way I don't have anything against, you know, wine sommeliers. It's just like, we need 12 of them and that's it. So there's no point of upending your whole life and going back to school to learn all this shit when it's going to be insanely difficult to get a job as a museum curator. Whatever. You love art. I get it. All right. You're following your passion. Great. But you'd have better luck being a professor that teaches people how to be museum curators than actually being one yourself. There's probably more jobs available to people that want to teach people to be museum curators. Because this like specialty wouldn't even exist if there weren't, you know, so many people going to college, so many people going to university. I don't have beef with museum curators. Don't be writing me emails. You know, you just haven't seen the beauty of a Renoir painting. Whatever, I have. Go to the Philadelphia Art Museum once in a while, all right? I'm classy as fuck. Come on. But you can't upend your life at 30 years old and go back to school and take on $65,000 of debt and piss away 3 years of your life where you're not producing anything to go get a degree for a job that doesn't even fucking exist. And this is what the problem is. This is the problem that the government is creating. When this person told me that they wanted to go back to school to be a museum curator, I felt like saying, you need to start roofing. The summer is coming around the corner. You need to go buy shingles in those big fucking things that weigh like 120 pounds, and you need to march them up a ladder onto the second floor of a house somewhere, and you need to do some roofing in the middle of June when the sun is beating down at 105 degrees, and the only thing hotter than that is the sun that's reflecting off of the bare-ass roof that you're on and is shooting back up into your eye socket at 250 degrees. You need to go out and do some roofing where you legitimately lose 7 pounds just from sweating in the morning. That's a job. You're producing something. That's like a real service that you're doing. The museum curators, they're out there. They're doing their thing, you know? But we need roofs, okay? We need roofs. More people need their roofs taken care of than they need to be explained, you know, about some Salvador Dali painting. Speaking of which, do you see this baseball card the other day that sold for $55,000? This Derek Jeter rookie card? Baseball card. That is another way for saying a piece of cardboard with some ink on it. $55,000. $55,000. The same exact material that I have downstairs in my kitchen that the pizza box was made out of today. If I tried to give this pizza box to somebody who came to my door today, if somebody was doing door-to-door newspaper sales today, and they were like, sir, would you like to buy a subscription to the fucking New York Times? And I was like, no, but will you take this cardboard box here that I have? I don't want it in my kitchen anymore. They would be like, oh, God, no. Just get that away from me. Same material. Same material. One's got a picture of Derek Jeter on it, $55,000. The other one's got a little grease on it. It's worth nothing. You can't pay anybody to take it. I don't get it. Oh, man, I'm really out of control tonight. I really am. You know, I knew as soon as I read this tweet for, and literally I was sitting around doing nothing all night tonight. I was sitting around, I was doing a little bit of reading, I was doing a little bit of light research, but I was basically waiting for the basketball playoffs all night. And as soon as I read this thing, U.S. student debt just hit $1.5 trillion, my fucking head just went, oh my God, you got to get up and you got to yell and you got to talk about something. So I said, you better do a podcast now. This is why I'm so happy I have this set up now. There were so many days prior to this when I would read something and be like, this is fucking insane. I have to go rant about this to somebody or talk about it to somebody. And of course, when you're a total loser, you live by yourself, there's nobody to talk to. So you can either go into another room and talk to the wall like a crazy person. But now I have this microphone and I can put this thing together and I feel like I'm actually producing something and putting something out there. I mean, I feel terrible for you who's listening to it. Just has to listen to this, you know, diarrhea of the mouth that just never stops when I go off on something like this. But shit, I mean, this is a problem. Here's the article. America's student loan problem just surpassed a depressing milestone. Outstanding student debt reached $1.521 trillion in the first quarter of 2018, according to the Federal Reserve, hitting $1.5 trillion for the first time. Though the marker is somewhat arbitrary, it offers a reminder of how quickly student debt has grown, jumping from about $600 billion 10 years ago to more than $1.5 trillion today, and that the factors fueling the increase aren't likely to disappear anytime soon. People pay attention to milestones, blah, 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 said some guy defending the Fed. I don't know how he sleeps at night. College graduates leave school with about $37,000 in debt, hovered around $50,000, blah, 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 blah. I'm looking for the part in this article where they blame the Federal Reserve, but I don't see it. All right, so this section is called Why Does Student Debt Continue to Tick Up? And I haven't read this article yet, so we're going to read it together here for the first time. For one, student debt has a slower repayment trajectory than credit card or auto loan debt because it's repaid over decades instead of months or years. And even when some borrowers retire this debt, it's refreshed by a new cohort of borrowers, fueling growth. Consumer advocates have also argued that student loan companies don't do enough to work in borrowers' best interest and actually make loan repayment harder than necessary. Of fucking course they do! Of course they do. Jesus, of course they do. It's free money for them. And the amount students borrow is also growing, blah, 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 blah. Americans hit a separate debt milestone when credit card debt cleared the $1 trillion mark. Great job. So MarketWatch writes this whole article. There's not one mention of the Federal Reserve. There's not one mention of the government that's subsidizing this complete nonsense. And we have this huge problem. So now I at least put it down. I at least put it down on a podcast. So 3 years from now or 5 years from now or whenever the whole thing just absolutely implodes, I'll have something I can point back to and be like, hey, I was watching the goddamn NBA playoffs one night. I read this tweet. It made me walk my lazy ass up the stairs and scream into a microphone about it for a half hour. And here it is. Here I am saying something's going to be a problem. But this is all because this is subsidized. Televisions, electronics, not fucked with by the government, not subsidized. What happens? You get a better product at a lower cost. We're walking around with phones right now that can pretty much do anything. I mean, you can do anything on your phone right now for $900. And you think about years ago, you had to go out and buy a flip phone. You could go out and buy the most expensive flip phone on the market for $10,000. Couldn't even read email. So these things have gotten better over time because the free market has allowed them to get better. Companies know they need to produce, they need to compete, they need to lower prices. Otherwise, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to buy it. But when the government comes in and creates policy like this that says, we think everybody should have a student loan, just like this other incredibly asinine policy that Bernie Sanders just put forth, that everybody needs a job. Everybody needs a job. Everybody has the right to a job. Now, you don't need a PhD in economics from Harvard to understand why this is a horrible idea. And actually, Peter Schiff fucking went in on Bernie Sanders on his podcast, I think like last week. So if you can, look for the Peter Schiff podcast where he talks about Bernie Sanders, because he just absolutely knocks it out of the park. I was listening to it while I was running the other day and just like screaming, you know, in agreement with Peter. But his basic premise is one that anybody should be able to come up with, which is basically that if you're supplying jobs to people, just like if you're supplying people with unlimited money to go to college, it's going to mess up the market. It's going to mess up all these other variables. What's going to happen? People are going to think they're entitled to work. They're not going to work as hard. Then employers are going to have to hire more people. It's going to cost them more. It's going to be detrimental to their business. I mean, we're not talking about rocket science here. If everybody knows that they're guaranteed a job, making a guaranteed $15 an hour, is it any wonder that we don't get any productivity out of them? I mean, what keeps you getting up and going to your job in the morning? It's the idea that if you don't, you'll get fired. And if you get fired, you're not going to make any money. Or what keeps you productive at work? Maybe you love your job. I love my job. I love to be productive. I really do. But under the surface, on a very, 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 very tiny level, there's a little thing in my head that says, well, if I'm not productive enough, it could be a huge problem. People are going to start to wonder what I'm doing. And the same is probably true for you. You know that you have to have a certain level of productivity, otherwise you're not going to be necessary at your job. But if you're guaranteed your job, here, have a job. Why not? Everybody's allowed to have one. It's your God-given right. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and a job and a college education. If you know you're guaranteed a job and you know you're guaranteed a 15 an hour, what's the difference? What's the difference if you go into work at 7-Eleven and your boss asks you to please make sure that the coffee is made fresh and to dump out the old coffee and to make sure that the hot dogs have been all dated as to what time that they were prepared so that the customer knows when they can get a fresh hot dog and to move the inventory to a first in, first out so that the oldest prepared food goes out first and your task is to rearrange the donuts and the hot dogs. And you know you're guaranteed $15 an hour in a job no matter what. So what's the difference if you actually go and rearrange the hot dogs and put stuff where it's supposed to be, or you spend your shift sitting in the bathroom, chain smoking your e-vapes or whatever the fuck they're called that all these, you know, kids are using now. You go vape a couple of pipes, whatever the hell it is. And you sit on the toilet and you watch, World Star videos for an hour. What's going to be the difference? You're guaranteed the job. Who cares? Fuck the hot dogs. Where's the motivation going to come from? The idea that giving people jobs is some sort of like noble gesture that is going to make things better and is going to help the economy is completely asinine. And this subsidizing student debt is the exact same thing. It's the theory. You guys have your theory wrong. You're thinking about it wrong. But will they do anything? No. They're going to let the debt rack up, and then it's going to become a huge problem that's going to be unavoidable at some point, and either the taxpayers like you and me are going to pay for it, and then we're going to have to sit through some fucking stupid congressional hearing where, you know, the head of some major student loan company has got to sit in front of Congress and go, well, sir, well, I could have never predicted that the loans were going to be repaid. So, really, sir, what I have in this binder is statistics here showing loan-to-value ratio and the fact that, you know, nobody could have predicted that these loans weren't going to get repaid. I mean, the data here showed that, you know, payments, yeah, sure, they had drifted. You know, there were a lot of people that were late to 90 days late, 120 days late. But really, we couldn't. So, you know, Senator, it wasn't really our fault. And then we got to listen to some stupid congressman that doesn't understand economics or the problem, doesn't even know why he's outraged. Probably like Elijah Cummings or one of these guys. Well, this is outrageous. You know, I don't understand how anybody could let this happen. No, you just don't understand at all. And that's part of the problem. So, Fed, get your theory game right. You're fucking up the works big time. And it's pissing me off. And I'm missing the NBA playoffs because of it. But not for long, because I'm going back down there now. So, anyways, that was lovely. Thank you guys for listening. And I'll be back soon. By the way, I have some guests, I think, that are lined up. Peter Schiff actually got back to me, said he'd consider coming on next week. It's funny, I asked him, he watched my presentation about the short, the whole fucking thing presentation, which is on my YouTube. And I said, hey, give this a look. Let me know what you think. He shot me an email back. He's like, roll down your sleeves next time and stop cursing. You can be a little bit more professional. I said, Pete, we agree on a lot of economic theory, but I'm not really sure if you know what I'm going for. Not trying to manage $5 billion right now. Just trying to be myself. Way more important. Causes me a lot less brain damage. I've already got enough. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I am out. Peace!